Hi there, you're listening to the Lazy Genius Podcast. I'm Kendra Adachi, and I'm here to help you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. This is episode 232, How to Hold Your Own in a Conversation You Know Nothing About. This is a special, unique little episode because I am not alone. My sister Hannah recorded this little bonus episode with me to give you guys some fun and levity, but also permission to be who you are in a room, even when you don't know what everyone else is talking about. My sister is hilarious and makes me laugh more than just about anyone else. And in this episode, we share how we are completely different when it comes to one particular topic, sports, or as Hannah calls it, sports ball. We share some personal stories that will hopefully bring a laugh to your Monday, but also we dive into what it means to be around people and not know what they're talking about. What do you do? Hannah and I have a secret monthly show for Patreon supporters called the Lazy Sisters Podcast. And this is A, like a little sneak peek into what that show is like, and B, a good reminder that we don't all have to like the same things in order to connect with each other. So here is a little snippet of the Lazy Sisters Podcast with my real life sister, Hannah, how to hold your own in a conversation you know nothing about. I'm Kendra, the big sister.
And I'm Hannah, the little sister.
This is the Lazy Sisters Podcast.
Real life sisters keeping you from real bad choices.
Today is a quick little bonus episode, how to hold your own in a conversation you know nothing about.
I have done that many a time. How about you, Kendra?
An example that we have between the two of us, sister, is that I love and know a lot about sports.
Yes.
And you?
I don't. The answer is I do not know, Kendra. I call it sports ball, Kendra.
You call it sports ball. And so we wanted to kind of use fall sports as a, because so many things are happening right now, like college football.
They are.
NFL.
Yeah, I knew all of that stuff. I knew that fall is a sporty season.
There are a lot of
things. You know, Sporty Spice was always my favorite Spice Girl.
It's true.
Mostly because I was just like,
it was aspirational.
It was super aspirational. 100%.
So in case you did not know, there are a lot of sports are ending and beginning.
Okay.
Now and over the next couple of months.
Yes. And not just the Olympics, which are only every 4 years.
Yes. And they have been over for a while now.
I know, but it was thrilling. It really was.
It was thrilling. It was a great Olympic. So for context, for anyone who is new to us, I am 7 years older than you, just about.
Six
and a half, something.
And, like that.
Okay, so I started watching sports before you were born because I wanted to connect with our deadbeat father, who is not around anymore. And that was the only way that I felt like I could have an emotional connection with him. So
woot,
it's
woot.
Really sad. But next up, I found I really loved it.
Yeah.
Like I loved it. I started out with college basketball, with Carolina basketball, and then it just grew to the point where I wanted to be a sports broadcaster for years until I was like, oh, I am not 5'9 and blonde, and I don't want to work a sideline for the next 20 years to get the job I actually really want that I think I would be good at. So I became a teacher like everyone else. But my other like athletic pursuits, the funny thing, the irony here, I can talk a lot about sports. I know them. I love them. I cannot play them. Not coordinated. I was a cheerleader in middle school, but I couldn't do a cartwheel or any jumps of any kind. I just had really sharp movements.
You did. And you memorized those cheers.
I did so great.
You never missed a cheer.
I didn't. I will say that whenever there was like a seventh grade version of like a sexy cheer where you had to do some sort of hip roll or something,
you were not participating.
I was in the back of the pyramid.
For
sure. I was never the point of the pyramid. I was the point of the pyramid when we were doing like sharp motions.
Yes.
But never hip rolls.
Your pom-poms were a force to be reckoned with.
They really were. So I was a middle school cheerleader. I played homeschool volleyball.
Always a plus. Always a plus.
I did not start.
No, you did
if
not.
If that says anything. I couldn't really serve. Definitely couldn't spike or jump. And so I was just like a mediocre setter, but I couldn't do the real setting with your fingertips.
Yeah.
So I just bump it a lot.
Yeah, that's all did. I did. But it was very encouraging and always on time to practice.
And always had very red wrists after games.
It hurt every daggum time.
Every time.
And then I won my final like foray into the athletic world was in eighth grade when I won that sports writing competition.
Yeah, for our local newspaper.
For our local newspaper.
Yeah.
And I got to be a real sideline reporter. Sideline actually meets on the third floor of the stadium at the ACC, at our conference basketball tournament. I wore a houndstooth wool skirt that I got from the Gap. And a black turtleneck tucked in and black tights. I thought I was the stuff because I also thought I was going to be like on the floor, like in the press box.
Yeah.
And again, I was like in the nosebleeds of the Clemson section.
Yeah.
With an ancient laptop whose battery died within 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Anyway, but perhaps my playing credentials are not very good. My enthusiasm
unmatched clearly,
and knowledge, it does exist.
It does exist.
What about you?
Okay, so I just have this very vivid memory of you in your classic sexy date outfit that at the time was a giantly oversized OG Carolina Panthers white T-shirt with your white cutoff jean shorts and your black Reebok tennis shoes with your Charlotte Hornets dangly earrings.
You
were the stuff, and you know what? I did too. I did too, Kendra. I wanted to be you. And so you were super into sports.
Yeah.
And but you couldn't play sports. No. And I couldn't play sports either. So I was like, I could do this.
Sure.
I could be Sporty Spice.
Yeah, you can.
I just remember I had two really big kind of like sports awakenings, I guess you could call them.
Right.
The first one was the realization that there are sports that don't have like basketballs in them.
Oh, like different kinds of balls.
Yes.
And equipment.
Like sports balls and equipments, yes, and different things.
Right.
So ultimately for me, that was the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. Carrie Strug was really pivotal for me. And I just remember, I mean, don't we all, right?
We all remember.
I mean, wow. I just remember looking at these gymnasts and being like, these are sportsmen. Like, these are, this is real world-class sportsmanship here.
And there's not a sports ball to be seen.
Not a sports ball to be seen. And so I was like, I could do this.
Yeah, you could.
I could do this. Did I have the body type? No. The physique? No.
The flexibility?
The strength? No.
None of those things.
No. But I had the wave.
You did.
So this is what I did because I could not be a gymnast. I was very aspirational in my thinking, right? I could do anything.
Yes.
So I perfected a very quick judge wave, and then I would run very fast down the hallway and then abruptly stop before I hit the wall.
Like it was a vault.
Yes. And I would, in my mind, do an incredible floor routine. Right. The vault was a little too scary for me, so I never pictured that. It was always the floor routine. But I killed it every time in my imagination. And I really thought that that was enough to get me to the Olympics.
Yes.
For
The wave.
Like 100%. So I carried that enthusiasm with me until I saw Mia Hamm play soccer.
Yes.
Okay. And I wanted to be her.
We all did.
I mean, desperate.
Yes.
So I signed up for soccer.
I remember this. I was actually very resentful of you for doing that because it meant that I had to go to your games.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. Sorry.
How old would I have been? How old were you when you did that?
I think I was 7.
Right.
So you
See,
were
I would have been
13,
like
14.
I would have been a B-word middle schooler then.
Oh,
and so of course
for sure.
I was just like, no. I don't want to get.
Well, and we also hated each other then. So that makes sense. That makes sense. Which is part of why I was trying to be a sports person, because I was like, maybe we'll be friends.
Oh, that's so sad.
Thankfully, as we got older, we could connect on different topics other than sports.
Sure, this is true.
But it took us a long time to get to that place.
A really long time.
But I signed up for soccer. And in the same way that I had perfected my wave,
yes,
right?
Yes.
As a soccer player, I perfected my water bottle strategy.
You did.
This was like an epic family story. Yeah, it's quite the anecdote, I guess. But no, it was when Gatorade, I believe, had just come out with their super sucky bottles. Not sucky as in quality control, but the actual twist ones that you could suck the Gatorade out of, right? It was a very different drinking experience.
It was a different drinking experience.
It felt very Mia Hamm. You know, like, Mia Hamm doesn't have time to unscrew her water bottle. Like, she just twists it with her mouth. Yeah, she twists it with her mouth and just sucks it down. She needs those electrolytes pronto before she scores her next touchdown.
Look at you with your electrolytes. The touchdown was wrong. But, like, the electrolytes, I think that was good.
I mean, the touchdown was a joke. I do know that it's a goal. I do know it's a goal, but that's about it.
Right. That's right. Fine, that's fine.
As my soccer career would show, since it fizzled out very quickly, and I got the award for best throw in,
you did,
which was a throw away award. But what I would do with my water bottle is I was, you know, ahead of my time trying to recycle and reuse. I would drink my water, my Gatorade really fast and get my electrolytes. And before my game, my big games,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I would fill up my water bottle the night before and I'd stick it in the freezer.
Yeah, you would.
Because, you know, an athlete needs cold water to quench their thirst. And the next day I would go and I would try to drink water out of a Gatorade sucky bottle that was just a block of ice. And it was so disappointing. And I looked like, I mean, I looked a bit wild, you know? I mean, it was
becoming increasingly dehydrated because
And I wasn't athletic. So even just a quick sprint down half of the not real soccer field was enough to create, you know,
perspiration, quite a degree, yes.
Very intense, what I think you're supposed to call them, Charlie horses. So, that's like sports cramp, right?
Sure.
Okay, I think it's a sports cramp. I'm asking this question legitimately.
You can get a Charlie horse not playing sports.
Okay, good to know.
I'm pretty sure a Charlie horse is a muscle cramp. And you can get muscle cramps just from existing, from dehydration.
See, I don't do a lot, clearly. So I'm not familiar with the cramps.
Sure.
And where they land, you know?
Yes.
So anyways, that was my attempt at being an athlete. You know, I really walked away from both of those experiences of waving and drinking water bottles ineffectively. I walked away from those experiences just being like, you know what? I have an athlete's heart and I'm just going to go with that. I'm passionate. I'm sensitive and tender. And even though as I just said that though, I'm like, we generally don't classify athletes as being sensitive and tender.
None of the words that you just said are words that people call athletes. Like
she's
ever.
Just so, that Carrie Strug, She's so tender.
Okay. I mean, that doesn't mean we shouldn't.
No,
but that's
correct.
Usually not the first few
No,
words
it's not
out.
The first thing that happens
right.
when okay. you talk about an athlete. But anyways, all of that to say, my desire to understand sports.
Yes.
Is born out of wanting to just connect with people that I care about.
Yes.
Where sports is something that they care about.
And I think that's true of a lot of people.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Touchdown.
We'll be right back.
Okay, so let's set the stage where a lot of people will be now, between now and the next few months.
Because mm-hmm. apparently,
there are a lot of sports.
It's sports season.
So it's like you've got playoff baseball in the World Series. Most people do a Super Bowl party. That's not until like the first weekend of February.
Okay.
But like college basketball is going to be starting. The college football championship is going to be in the beginning of January. Like there are lots of things. Or it might not even be a party situation. You might, as you said before, you might live in a house with people that you deeply care about, who deeply care about sports or something that you don't necessarily know a lot about, and you want to connect with them in that way.
Yes, absolutely.
So how can you hold your own in a conversation you don't know anything about? A few years ago, you were like, okay, we were watching football.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I remember you going, what's a down?
Everybody talks about the downs.
You were so confused.
Everybody does. It's always a seventh down, a tenth down. I was like, I know there's the touchdown, and right. that's the important one.
That's the important down. It's true. We won't go into the down description now, but I remember thinking, okay, I want you to understand this thing that I love, and I deeply love football.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm a pretty good teacher of things, and I was like, all right, I'm going to teach you mm-hmm. football. And I love to teach people about football because you're not the first person I've done this with. I love to teach people about football using something that they love.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall the thing that we used?
Oh, 100%. It was Michael Fassbender. Because out of most things in the world, Fassie is at the top of my list.
Right. And so I remember saying to you, all right, Hannah, you're over here at one end of the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fassie's at the other end.
We need to get him.
You immediately said, how do I get to him? And I was like, oh, we are already cooking with gas. And so I explained football to you and you actually got it.
I did.
You did.
I did.
Now, I would love an update mm-hmm. on what happened since then.
I still love Michael Fassbender. I don't generally know what football does.
And I think the really lovely lesson here, because I used to think that teaching you about football would make you like football.
Yeah.
And I think you thought the same thing.
Oh, I did too. If I could just understand this.
You would like
it. Then we could watch sports ball games together.
Right. But you don't care about football.
No, I really don't.
You don't.
I don't.
It doesn't matter to you.
No.
And so me, despite my enthusiasm and patience and breaking down, like, it doesn't matter if football doesn't matter to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, like, you know, even when we were talking about sort of putting together this episode, it was like, all right, well, let me teach people football. And you said, but not everybody cares about football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you care about connecting with the people in your life. You care about having fun at the Super Bowl party. You care about those things. But you don't actually have to care about the thing that the other people know in order to still connect with them.
You don't have to fake it till you make it.
Nope.
You don't have to pretend like you're going to like the sport yes. after the conversation is over. But you can actually be very honest without being self-deprecating.
Right.
Without me like, oh yeah, I'm just one of those people that just can't get on the sports and right. that's fine, whatever. Right. And, you know, that is my impression of a self-deprecating person, apparently. Who am I?
Well, and it's funny because I think sometimes I think about my kids. Sam right now is playing alto sax. Now, I love music. I don't know anything about brass instruments. Mm-hmm. I don't know a thing. But because he's actually really into it, I would like to know about it. And that doesn't mean that having that motivation is bad, or like getting into it and actually getting into the thing that the person likes, that you're not being authentic either. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it may be that after we'd had that fassy football conversation that it stuck and you might have come to love football. But that's not any better than what actually happened,
yeah.
which is that you actually realize you don't care about football at
no,
all.
No, but I still love Michael Fassbender.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Why would you not? So anyway, so all that to say, it's like both ways are great. Like, you can explore and not know and seek to know. Or you can be okay with not knowing
mm-hmm.
without being self-deprecating. It's like having someone come over to your house and you apologize for the state of the house.
As soon as they walk in the door.
As soon as they walk in the door. And there's really nothing wrong with your house. Or even if there is, like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But we do that to make ourselves more comfortable, but really just makes everyone uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So even in those kinds of situations, like if you're a Super Bowl game, you don't have to like be like, yeah, I did, like you said. That is what a self-deprecating person sounds like.
I don't really know about what's going on.
Like, you don't have to do that in order to connect and be yourself there.
I have found, and maybe this is just my personal bent, but I feel like this is a common thing with lots of people. When you're insecure about something, you tend to want to say a lot of words about that thing to make yourself feel better.
Right.
And I think that one of the big things with the sports conversation, with any type of conversation where you are feeling a little bit out of place or out of sorts, just listen right. and ask some interesting questions.
Be curious.
Like, because if you go into it and you're not thinking about your own ego or you're not thinking about your own place in the conversation. But if you really just want to be engaged, just ask people questions like, why are you rooting for this team?
Right.
Why do you care so much? Not in like a bad way, but like in a, why do you care so much? Because usually people have really cool stories right. about why they root for teams. Because usually sports is very emotional and very deep for a lot of people.
Right. And I would also say as a person who loves sports, that I would be more than willing to answer those questions to someone who asks. I would also really be appreciative if those questions were not asked during the game. Or during like the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter when things are really close.
Oh, that is such a great point. This is like when I sit and watch a movie uh-huh. with a person.
Yes.
And they ask me questions about the movie.
Yes.
Did you just see that? Mm-hmm. I sure did.
I'm sitting here too.
I sure did. I'm trying to pay attention.
Right.
And you're talking to me. And I need you to stop talking.
So that, I'm not saying like I'm going to snap at a person who's asking me a personal question during a game. But you can
read the room.
Yeah, it's nice to sort of know that one of the main tenets of people who love sports, of sports fanatics, is that they want to be engaged in the game as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I understand that when you see the other people in the room who have a similar level of fanaticism, they are engaged with each other to a point because they are looking at the same thing. They are enjoying the same thing. And if you're not enjoying that, and they're definitely not going to be talking to you right now, it can be a little bit tricky. But guess what? You don't have to feel bad being in the kitchen with the people who don't like the game.
Nope.
You don't have to think that your partner who really, really loves sports and is not talking to you during the game, that he doesn't like you or something like that because they're paying attention to the game and not you. That's just something that they really love to be invested in. And you can ask questions during a commercial or later, or you don't have to read into it in a weird way. Or you can be honest later after the game and say, hey, listen, I just need to tell you the truth that I really want to love these sports with you, these sports ball games, and I don't. I still want to connect with you. Do you feel like I'm connecting with you even though I don't love this thing that you really love?
Mm-hmm.
And your partner can say, yeah, totally. And that's a snippet of our conversation about conversations. Now, listen. Yes, it is a blast to have stuff in common with people. It's an easier path to connection. I would be dishonest to say anything different, but you can still have connections with people and not like all the same things. I think like on an intellectual level, we all believe that. It's a pretty basic tenet of being a person, right? We can like different things, but the emotional work of living that way on a regular basis, especially if someone that you love really loves something that you don't, it's harder to put that into practice. So this is your permission to learn about the thing or not, to ask questions or not, to be willing to let that person you love connect with other people around that topic and not see it as a threat or not, to be content in a relationship, knowing that you have no interest in learning what a down is, and to be content with yourself in a relationship or in a social setting, in a conversation, at a party, on the couch next to someone you love when you don't have anything to contribute. You don't have to know about something in order to be connected to someone who loves that something. If you try and it doesn't work, if you have someone try to get you into football or music or carpentry or CrossFit or bird watching or whatever, it's okay if it doesn't stick. It's okay if you just don't get it. It's okay if that person's enthusiasm has to stand on its own and you love them, but you still just don't get that thing that they love. Love what you love and be yourself in that, and let other people love what they love and be themselves in that too. You don't have to be a threat to each other. You don't have to be the same to connect. You don't have to know what a down is to sit in the living room while someone else enjoys football. The way to hold your own in a conversation you know nothing about is to be honest that you don't know anything about it. Be curious when you feel it's appropriate and be kind to yourself when that little voice in your head says that you should go, that you don't belong, that you need to sound smarter about this thing than you actually are. The more we are comfortable and confident in who we are and what we love and let other people be the same way, the more connected we'll naturally become. And that's it for today.
If you're interested, the Lazy Sisters podcast, like I said, it comes out monthly. It's a very long episode, and Hannah and I cover all sorts of topics that we're passionate about. That is our sweet spot when we are really into something. We're pretty entertaining, if I can say that, when that happens. Our most recent full episode was about how we approach gifts and giving them during the holidays. We have talked about feminine health and care, celebrity crushes. We love to talk about books and what we're reading. Hannah is a wealth of knowledge when it comes to hair and skincare. We tell stories about growing up that are sometimes funny and sometimes super depressing because we both have experienced a decent amount of trauma. It's like a whole ride. But this is the time of year when, like, I am neck deep in getting things done and being intentional about the upcoming holidays, fall routines, and all of it, that I just need a fun companion to all the productivity. So hopefully this little episode gave you that today. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. I'm Kendra. I'll see you next week.